AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. I'm a little confused, Hunter, because this morning, once again, a series, a litany, a plethora of interviews I had to record this morning for our special brand new to you holiday shows, which we air here on AM 950.
Yep.
I've got to talk to Schechter. Schechter gets in some naughty language a little bit in his little interview.
Ooh.
Peter Callahan as well over at MinPost. He had an exceptional breakdown of the 2018 year in Minnesota politics. And his observation about Dean Phillips is one of the best political insights I've heard all year. I mean, you have to listen to it. You can, and here's the trick. You can. Why? Because we, of course, starting on Friday, I believe, are we doing Larry Millett and Michael Broadcorp on Friday? I believe so.
I don't even know.
I think it is. I think it is. We start on Friday. We have recorded interviews, brand new shows. You have not heard them. We decide we don't want to just do a week's worth of best of. And, you know, it's also not really fair to some of our fill-in people just to call them in here to have to do holiday shows. So we came up with this idea because we always have these tons of authors that are always out there. And, you know, of course, fan favorites like Cliff Schechter and Jeff Stein. And, well, okay, maybe not Jeff Stein as a fan favorite, but, you know, guy Jeff Stein. How about I say it like that? And we end up doing these recordings, and we have brand new shows for you that run throughout the holidays. We start them on Friday. There are just some sensational interviews that we have done. Really just some top-notch stuff. So if you get the chance, stay with us throughout the entire holiday. We really do enjoy you right here on AM 950. And I'll let you know. I'm going to be around, so I'll let you know each day what we've got coming on up. All right? We're looking forward to it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I want to bring up an issue. Hunter, were you here the day we talked about what had gone on in St. Louis Park? St. Louis Park, they have a rule there that if someone's caught of a crime, that they basically... they've stopped enforcing a part of a controversial city ordinance that forced landlords to evict tenants from their homes. In a unanimous vote Monday night, the council passed a resolution that will keep police from issuing notices to landlords when a tenant has violated a crime-free, drug-free provision in the city's rental housing ordinance. The moratorium will allow the city to review the ordinance and consult with community people. Basically, there are people that were then thrown out of their apartments in St. Louis Park who were found later have not done any crimes.
And that was a while ago, right?
It was a few months ago.
Yeah.
It was a few months ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
By the way, vroom, vroom, St. Louis Park. Way to get this handled since the KSTP story came on out showing you have evicted and thrown people out of their apartments who haven't done anything. One woman, wasn't she thrown out because her boyfriend had done something?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I'm sorry, it started to sound a little like a little sick and sadistic sort of, you know, police payback sort of thing. I don't quite know what it was, but clearly it's like the ketamine story. It's like when they were drugging people in downtown, it's just sort of like you gave them some options, and some people were using that to the utmost to basically punish people beyond, I've determined that you deserve to be punished more, mm-hmm. So I'm going to drug you or I'm going to get you thrown out of your apartment complex. I'm personally still hope that St. Louis Park gets a living daylight suit out of them. I really do, because how you could put such an ordinance into place and not give a rat's caboose when it was being violated over and over and over again to citizens who hadn't done anything wrong. I don't know. But this kind of, you know, a little bit of a sanctimonious, like, oh, we're better now. We've learned our lesson. We're not going to do that anymore. Well, a day late, a dollar short. The decision came after a 5 Eyewitness News investigation found under the ordinance, priests were ordering landlords to force people from the homes, even though they were never convicted, charged, or in several cases, accused of a crime. City records show this impacted more than 150 people over the last 5 years. During a nearly hour-long discussion, council members raised concerns about the unintended consequences of the ordinance and of the fact that tenants do not have any ability to appeal the notice of lease termination. You guys, you should be sued, man. How are you this irresponsible? Seriously, how are you this irresponsible that there is no appeal process, nothing? It is a one strike and you're out. And by the way, it's not even a strike. It's basically anywhere near you, regardless of whether the pitch, even if you were up to bat, they call it a strike and they throw you out. I mean, God, I mean, geez. I just think that it's time for us to take a step back, take another look at the ordinance and reenact something different, said Councilmember Tim Bronson. You think? Council members and Mayor Jake Spano introduced a series of amendments to the original resolution that ultimately failed to pass. One of the most hotly debated was a proposal that would suspend any police enforcement of the ordinance, including warning notifications of disorderly use violations. Police should not play a part in lease agreements. And once again, this seems to be what has been going on, is some sort of feeling of vigilante justice. Is that the right term? I don't know if it's the right term, but a feeling of, well, we're going to show you because I've got the law on my side. So even though that you haven't been charged with a crime, I'm going to get you thrown out of your apartment. And this is a pretty serious thing to do. And I'm sorry, I am beyond any kind of, you know, explanation that you can look at me and say, oh, well, this made sense. It does not make sense. You know, even if you had an appeal process, you can't just, you know, the idea that just someone could, you know, make a call to on something completely different, like, oh, I'm a law enforcement official, I am here to monitor a person. Oh, look, I've caught you with a marijuana blunt, which is legal in most states, in your car, but it's not legal here. So I'm going to make my first call, not to my precinct officer, but rather to your landlord and have you thrown out of your apartment. That's just dumb. And, you know, 150 people were impacted over this. By the sounds of it, at least 10, 12 people were thrown out for wrong reasons, and I hope they do sue the city of St. Louis Park.
I would call that vigilante. I think that's an appropriate term for it.
Well, it's like the ketamine, the downtown, where they had the drug test.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there were some officers that basically took that drug test because they're, funny story, not medical professionals. And they were using it as like, oh, is this guy's being a little unruly? Well, we can give him a little cocktail. Time to go to sleepy sleep. And yeah, that was an abuse of power. But you, and without a doubt in my mind, I mean, before, I don't want anyone calling up and saying, Matt, all you're doing is beating up on the St. Louis Park Police Department. The vast majority of police officers, my guess, would not be for this. I gotta believe most of them are not looking to have people thrown out. But there clearly have been some people who have felt as if, even without charges filed, that it's my job to throw this person out of the city of St. Louis Park. And it's not as bad as racist Christmas tree as far as in regards to the overall department. I mean, once again, in the racist Christmas tree, everyone had to be walking past that Christmas tree and saw that racist Christmas tree at the 4th precinct. But without a doubt, there's got to be more than a few people within that department that were using this. Hey, this is the law. It says I can do this. Well, I'm going to go do it. And don't get me wrong, there are people who are criminals, but there's a thing called due process, which I think is important. Pat is in St. Louis Park. All right, let's go, Pat, in St. Louis Park. Welcome on in, Pat.
Yes, I lived in St. Louis Park for about 20 years, and I live across from some apartments. And I really believe, yeah, there should be due process. But as a neighbor, and this sounds really terrible, my apartments go through streaks. I mean, for 6 months, it's good. And then for basically 3-4 months, I mean, my neighbor had somebody get stabbed basically on the front of their steps of their house. A drunk ran into two of my trees.
Drunks happen.
We have cops there almost once a night.
Pat, hold on a quick second. The stabbing, okay, okay. The drunks happen everywhere. I mean, that's not just something exclusive to St. Louis Park. I mean, there are drunk drivers that crash into trees in Wayzata and in Maple Grove.
Because there's parking only on my side of the street, not in front of the apartment.
Well, what I'm saying is, so Pat, what I'm saying, Pat, is this, is that there's drunken driving everywhere. So that using that, it's like, well, it's bad here. Well, I mean, okay, the stabbing. All right. You say that there's drug dealers that are going across.
Well, okay, this is the deal with the drunk driving, is that they hit the two trees in front of my house. The person grabbed the girl out of the front seat of the car and ran into the apartments across the street. I called the cops and said, hey, you know, somebody might be hurt, whatever. The cops came, and they said, okay, what happened? I said, this is what happened. They went, they got the ambulance, the person came, the ambulance came, took the person out. I get a letter about a month later saying, hey, I'm accused of driving the car. I wasn't driving, it was the guy. I need you to be a witness. And I'm like, well, it's like, come on.
Well, Pat, hold on. Was she the driver of the car?
No.
Okay. Well, then.
But if
you're concerned,
the point is, there is due process.
You're kind of doing it, Pat. You're trying to have it both ways. You witnessed the crime. This woman has been accused. She has been wrongly accused of driving the car. She was then dragged in the apartment. Are you saying that that woman should be thrown out of St. Louis Park because she's clearly a victim in this case?
I don't know if that's why due process should be happening, but I'm saying that, you know what? If this is the, I mean, I had a friend who was parking her car in front. One of the apartment people came over because she felt that my friend looked at her wrong.
Well,
slammed her in the face.
Well, if that's the case, then call the police. But what you're saying to me is, and I think we're done with Pat, because I think what Pat is sort of saying is, sure, throw a bunch of people out that haven't done anything. As long as you get some of them are guilty of a crime, I'm perfectly okay with innocent people being falsely accused. And by the way, why are you living in this hellscape? Why are you living in Mad Max Fury Road in St. Louis Park? Where is this place where there are constant fist fights and punching and stabbing and drunk drivers and people being dragged out by their hair? Where in St. Louis Park is this? Because I don't think this really exists. I think it's more an exaggeration of certain problems. Because, like I said, stabbing? Sure. Call the police. By all means. It's the case. But my point is this. You yourself with the drunken driving. Okay, well, first of all, that's not exclusive to any individual community. But your own witness, you witnessed this case where this woman wasn't driving the car, but was being accused by her boyfriend of being the driver. And you know this. And you yourself, who could be the witness, who could prove that she is innocent, are sort of like, oh, I don't want to mess with that. I don't have time to deal with that. But at the end of the due process, as she gets thrown out, well, you yourself are acknowledging she has been falsely accused of the drinking and driving. But then you come back and say, well, if she gets thrown out, she gets thrown out. Okay, this is the reason why St. Louis Park's about to lose a whole bunch of taxpayer money. If people haven't done a crime, then they deserve to basically have a chance to redeem themselves. And if you knew that that woman hadn't drunk and drive and she was being charged, you should have stood up and you should have said, no, that wasn't her, it was him. You should have done something. But it sounds like because she was dating him, she deserves whatever he would have gotten. Come on, man. Come on. And if your neighborhood, seriously, I have numerous friends who live in St. Louis Park. I have numerous friends who live in St. Louis Park. I have no idea where you're living at because this punching, the punching in the face, stabbing, drunk driving, constant every night, it's the worst place in the world. Then move. For God's sakes, move. If it's that bad, you could move probably four blocks and there won't even be a problem. But this idea that, you know, I don't care because some of the people that are getting thrown out are probably guilty of a crime. Wow. And if you are guilty, if you do believe in due process, then you need to go and talk to the legal people and the judge about that woman who was falsely accused of drunk driving and stand up and say she wasn't the victim. How do you know that she isn't a part of a larger relationship of serious abuse? And she was asking for help, and you sort of say, well, I'm going to wash my hands of this. Come on. If someone's stabbing someone, sure, call the police. First of all, call the police, not the landlord. Call an ambulance, not the landlord. And if the guy is someone is convicted of a crime, and the law says it, and the person has a process of due process that they can appeal it, sure, then fine, throw them out. But you see, is none of these auxiliary things I have just put forward are in place. And as a matter of fact, it sounds like that woman who wasn't guilty of a crime, who is likely going to get thrown, who might have been thrown out of St. Louis Park because she just happened to be dating a bad person. And, you know, that case drops in your lap and you're like, oh, I don't care. She gets thrown out. She gets thrown out. It's all part of the bad people. Oh, dear Lord. Dear Lord. God. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. Merry Christmas, everyone. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
In the process of planning your next event, consider D'Amico Catering. Their team brings extensive experience and knowledge to the table to ensure that your event runs smoothly. With over 20 years of event planning and culinary experience, D'Amico has established their reputation as the Twin Cities' premier caterer. They've been trusted to carry out numerous weddings, corporate functions, and nonprofit fundraisers. D'Amico has the right staff to ensure your event is perfectly executed every time. More at D'AmicoCatering.com.
Share a special experience with your loved ones this holiday season at Nightingale, an intimate eatery and cocktail lounge. Receive a $20 gift certificate for every $100 gift certificate purchased through the end of December. Enjoy their mulled wine and house-made eggnog, perfect for special occasions and holiday gatherings. A fun, cozy atmosphere and delicious, inventive dishes make for a memorable and warm get-together. Nightingale is located at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis. More at nightingalempls.com.
Native Earth Radio is proud to announce we're adding an extra hour.
1 hour's too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
Great. More time for me to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national Native news with reporters all around the country. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and streaming live on Facebook.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman for Continental Diamond. You've heard me talk about this place for a long time, and this holiday season, it's time to get your loved one a gift that will last a lifetime. Their experts know all the latest trends and will help you find the perfect gift to fit any budget with an amazing in-stock selection to choose from. Stay away from the craziness of the malls and visit Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at ContinentalDiamond.com. That's Continental Diamond for the perfect holiday gift.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Aloha also means goodbye in St. Louis Park. Christmas Day. My whole point was this. I'm not saying that there aren't criminals. In every town there are. There are stabbings that happen in Edina. There are stabbings in Maple Grove. There are ones that happen in Minneapolis. They happen everywhere. All right? My point is this. If you have a law which says someone who has been convicted of a crime is liable for, you know, to be evicted, that you can throw them out. And once again, it shows that, once again, the St. Louis Park law shows that many people were evicted even though they were never convicted, charged, or in several cases, even accused of a crime. That's the problem. And your argument, so there are people who haven't even been accused of a crime, but I know they're up to something over there. And they were thrown out unlawfully without any due process. And if someone stabs someone, I think that's the general idea, is that, yeah, if you know, Johnny McStabby Pants over there is doing something, then Johnny McStabby Pants should probably be rounded up and after he's been convicted of a crime and been evicted from his apartment. Okay, fine. But in your own scenario, you knew that there was a woman there was there who basically wasn't the driver of a car. And yet, under St. Louis Park law, she could have been evicted even though she hadn't done a crime, which is something you yourself had admitted you knew she hadn't done. And your whole attitude towards the whole thing was, eh. So, you know, you're going to make some, you make some scrambled eggs, you're going to break a few eggs. You know, that's what's going to happen. You know, that's what's going to happen. You're going to make a cake, you're going to break a few eggs. And so that's your mentality. The point is that woman doesn't, from what the crime you just said, doesn't deserve to be thrown out of St. Louis Park just because you don't like her boyfriend or because you know she's up to something. My smell-o-vision was on the other day. I saw her in a car. She was doing something. I know it. Come on. You got to be a little bit better than that. And that's the whole point. The whole point is that you have to be a little bit better than that. Let's go to Linda in St. Paul, actually. Welcome on in, Linda.
Oh, hey there. Hey. Thanks, Matt. Well, see, there's a lot of consequences that come along with being evicted like that. So then the person, you know, needs to try to find a new place to live.
Yes.
And you have to have references, so you can't really use that old place of residence, because they'll say, oh yeah, they were evicted, they were accused of, or whatever. Just being accused is guilty to some people, it seems.
And by the way, I should mention here, Linda, if I can mention really quick, there are some people who weren't even accused of a crime that were still evicted, that under that same guise, they can't even say, well, I wasn't accused of a crime, I was just evicted, and so there's guilty by association.
Exactly, and in some people's eyes, that's all it takes.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And then when you're applying for other places, you've got application fees, which are non-refundable. And so you have to apply a lot of places hoping someone will take you. And usually you end up in substandard housing or a bad neighborhood, because no one's going to rent you anymore. There was one woman in this incident that was homeless for 5 years.
Yeah, that's right.
At people's places.
That's right. And Linda, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. No, I mean, all of them, excellent points. And the problem is that when you turn a law like this into a, we're going to get rid of those people I don't like, well, that's not your job. I didn't realize Mad Max Fury Road was Minnetonka Boulevard. I really didn't realize that. I miss the pole guys that are bouncing around while the trucks are exploding in the middle of the street to your godforsaken hellscape existence in this town. But the reality is that there's always people that have the mentality of if they only did it my way, things would be so much better. And the reality is that when you get people who are that, you know, once again, it's not the stabbing guy. I can understand the people wanting that guy evicted if he's proven to be guilty of the crime charge. Or if someone is assaulting you in the middle of the street, for God's sakes, call the police and have them investigate and arrest the individual. And if the guy is convicted of assault, okay. The problem is that in your own scenario, when your own scenario says, the woman that wasn't driving was being accused, and when she asked me to actually help her, I'm not going to help her, because I wanted her gone too because she was part of the problem. Wait a minute here. That's not what this law is about. It's like the neighbor that decides, I'm just going to go sneak onto my neighbor's property and cut down a bunch of trees I don't like. And then they all of a sudden say, why are you suing me? I was just only trying to make things a little bit nicer. Yeah, for you, in your world. And that's the problem with this law, is that it's basically city-approved finger-wagging at the expense of eviction. Reverend Jack is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on this. Welcome on in, Reverend Jack.
Hey, boss. Hey, well, so I just want to say real quick, you know, it sounded to me from that caller that she just, part of it was like, she sounded like, you know, I got this letter and I don't want to be involved and blah, blah, blah. I will tell you something from personal experience, that getting a DUI is a very, very serious, and it should be, a very, very serious deal. And now when you first get arrested, they charge you with suspicion of driving under the influence, which is, and I don't know if they're saying that she was drunk, and you know, but the point is this. If this woman is able to help her in any way, if she wasn't driving, if she was driving, then she should pay the consequences, you know? 7 years ago, I went through that, and I don't drink anymore, but that's part of the thing. It's part of the reason. But my point being, you know, that's a really serious deal, and it should be a very serious deal, but I mean, it's amazing how much her life will be turned upside down. And if she didn't do it, if she's not guilty, and this woman knows it, for goodness sake, you know, step up. I don't care if you don't like, if you even know the lady and don't care for her at all. You are a witness to this. You know that the truth. You know, just step forward and get involved and tell the truth, because, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, we should all be good citizens and we should all do the right thing. Well, we should all look out for our neighbors, and that's what it's all about.
Jack,
you know?
you said
Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Jack, you said it, though. Jack, you did say it. And which is this, is that, fine, you don't want to be involved with this person in regards to this situation. Fine. Well, then don't be involved with them trying to get them thrown out for wrong reasons, especially if you know that the reason she's getting thrown out is a DWI she didn't commit. Then for goodness sakes, don't get involved in that. If you don't want to be involved, fine. Well, then don't call the city and demand she get evicted. Don't call the police and to order them to call her landlord and get her thrown out. That's the case. But, you know, like I said, it almost sounds like I don't want to get involved because I just didn't want to get involved. But I'm for her getting thrown out, even though, you know, if she gets thrown out for that DWI, she's being thrown out of her building under false pretenses. We're better than that, aren't we? I would like to think we're better than that. You can't just pass laws like this without having due process. And if you say, I like due process and all, but, then no, you either like due process or you don't like due process. There's no buts, ands, ifs, whatevers, some days, could, you know, depending on the third moon of Venus or whatever. You know, it's it isn't. You either are for due process or you're not. And so if you're for due process, then let there be due process in this law. And, you know, please, if I can beg you, Pat, please, if you know that this woman did do this crime and you know it, then for goodness sakes, help her out. Because that would be the decent thing to do here. And yeah, it might mean she might still live across the street from you. But at least she's not going to jail, being evicted, being financially punished, and being subjected to an abusive relationship. I can tell you right now, if I knew of a case where someone that had happened to me, I guarantee you I'd be showing up in which courtroom do I need to go into? Yep, she wasn't driving. That was not her. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Come back, I'll talk about Flynn. But boy, did he get smacked around today? Oh, and also a plea to Amy Klobuchar when I come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, it doesn't show signs of stopping.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Toyota-thon is on. Head to Rudy Luther Toyota and check out the great deals. Rudy Luther has huge model year-end incentives, but it's the continued service which will make you a loyal Luther customer. Get 2 years maintenance free with every new Toyota purchased, performed in one of the largest volume service departments in the country. They'll never sell you service you don't need. Plus, the Luther Advantage card gets you great discounts at holiday. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com for all the Toyota-thon deals. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Considering replacing your vacuum? What do you do with the old one? Throw it in the garage? Worse yet, throw it in the garbage? How about trade it in and save? A1 Vacuum in Roseville has been around forever, and they take trade-ins. When you trade in your old vacuum, you save. So if it's time to replace that old clunker headed for the garage or landfill, bring it in to A1 Vacuum in Roseville. You can find A1 Vacuum at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Indeed, all the restaurants featured for eatlocalminnesota.com, all of them feature this week, actually next 3 weeks. So make sure you go on over there. A lot of great local restaurants, many of them locally sourced. You get a great local meal, and the money stays local. Eatlocalminnesota.com. So just really quick here, if you didn't catch this, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn on Tuesday, he basically got taken to the cleaners. And Stephen Portnoy, who is the CBS correspondent, was in the courtroom, and he live-tweeted this. And I just want to read these tweets as they went through. So what Flynn and his supporters have argued is that he was railroaded and steamrolled by the FBI, and they've been dishonest. Well, here comes the point where either they really do believe that, or he basically has to accept the fact that he's taking the plea. It is a pin. This is why Donald Trump is terrified of being under oath. This is why he's terrified of a courtroom, is because when you get to this point, you can no longer basically fight it. And so what the judge was saying to him is like, you've got a plea deal in place. Are you saying you want to negate this plea deal and go to court on all the charges the FBI has against you, which is an insane amount of charges? You're saying you want to do this in the court. So this is what the judge was saying. Sullivan says circumstances of Flynn's FBI interview as raised by his attorney last week concerned the court, because once again, they were talking about the fact that it was illegal, that FBI had done all this stuff illegally. Sullivan says they raise issues that may call into question his guilty plea. And by the way, this was a rope-a-dope if you've ever seen one. This judge basically set him up. Sullivan asked Flynn if he wishes to challenge the circumstances under which he was interviewed. Flynn says no. So Flynn at that point had to admit all the stuff I've been talking about was made up. I didn't know that it was illegal to lie to the FBI, all that stuff. That he was said it was a setup. Sullivan asked Flynn if he was aware that lying to the FBI was illegal. Flynn says in court, I was aware. So that whole narrative is now gone. He can no longer say that. He is saying in court, as is this plea deal, you know what? I know it was illegal. He is not taking Sullivan's offer to withdraw his guilty plea. So once again, Flynn was asked, do you want to withdraw your guilty plea and go to trial on all this? And at no point did Flynn, no, I got a plea deal. No. Sullivan asks if Flynn is ready to accept responsibility. I am, Your Honor, Flynn answers forcefully. Sullivan asks if Flynn would rather postpone the proceedings. He declines the offer. Sullivan now asks Flynn's attorney if he believes his client was entrapped by the FBI. No, Your Honor, says the lawyer. So now he's talked to Flynn and says, do you understand all this stuff? Do you want to take it back? Was there bad stuff that happened? He says no. Now he's turned to his lawyers and said, do you believe your client was entrapped? I mean, just taking, for example, that the client doesn't know that they were entrapped. The legal representation should know that. Do you feel as if your client was entrapped by the FBI? No, Your Honor, says the lawyer. Judge still probing asks Flynn's attorneys, my question is, how is raising those contentions about the circumstances of the FBI interview consistent with his acceptance of his responsibility? Defense attorney Robert Kellner says Flynn fully accepts responsibility. Basically, there's like, okay, wait a minute here. You're out in the media. You're all saying all these things. All these, your supporters are saying that you're innocent. This was the FBI. It was all coerced. And they very quickly said, no. He fully accepts responsibility, stands by his guilty plea. Direct quote. He says he included for judge's information he might want to see for sentencing purposes. Saying he's puzzled by the documents he's seeing, Sullivan makes it explicitly clear he was concerned by the circumstance of the FBI interview, but Flynn and his attorneys are repeatedly declining the judge's offer to delay to steer the proceedings off course. So this is where it starts getting, the judge is just toying with these guys. Because, you know, well, so he's basically got them all now to admit, no, we're all lying. This is true. We're going to take the plea deal. Are you sure? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it was, you're railroaded here. No, we want it. Are you sure? Are you really? Because this sounds like what you're saying in public is not what really happened. And so I want to make sure you're okay. I mean, it was really just, This judge just afterly went after him. One final time, and sounding skeptical, Sullivan asked Flynn, if you want to proceed because you are guilty of this offense, Flynn says he is and wants to proceed. Sullivan accepts his deal. Judge Sullivan has sent Flynn and his attorneys back to their table. He says he wants to go over Flynn's plea agreement and the facts that into it. Sullivan describes Flynn's crime as very serious offense, a high-ranking government official lying to the FBI and doing it while in the physical premises of the White House. Mueller prosecutor Brandon Van Grack haltingly tells Sullivan it is a possibility that Flynn is still cooperating with the special counsel's office. Prosecutor Van Grack says Flynn provided substantial assistance in the case announced yesterday involving in his work as an unregistered agent for the government of Turkey, and that would have been charged in connection with that case. Judge Sullivan is giving Flynn yet another chance to delay. You're telling him now his prerogative whether to move forward because he isn't necessarily finished offering helpful information to the government that might mitigate his sentence. Sullivan repeats his phrase, very serious offense, to describe Flynn's crime in the West Wing. The aggravating circumstances were serious, Sullivan says. Sullivan warns Flynn of a prison sentence. You are an unregistered agent of a foreign country while serving as the national security advisor to the president. Arguably, this undermines everything this flag over here stands for. Arguably, you sold your country out. Sullivan, I'm not hiding my disgust, my disdain for this criminal offense. You see, that's when he gave him every opportunity, saying, if this is true, then cancel the plea agreement and go to court. And Flynn was not, oh, no, it's true. No, it's all... Funny, when all of a sudden the Fox News cameras and Breitbart aren't there, all of a sudden I'm guilty. I'll take the plea deal. And that's when the judge unloads on him. Just unloads on him. Now, the judge apparently did come back at some point and say that he being an unregistered agent of a foreign country might have conflicted a little bit with the argument of the whether he was actually in the White House while he was in that capacity. But needless to say, it's not a good day for Flynn. It really is not a good day for Flynn. So I want to take a quick side note here before we get into the next break here to talk about Amy Klobuchar, because if you haven't heard, Amy Klobuchar is getting a lot of press right now about a potential Democrat. I almost said DFL. She's not a DFL candidate. But potentially being the Democratic nominee for president of the United States. I mean, a lot of people are pointing towards her and you know, her appeal. And she's a moderate Democrat, that's for sure. But today she put out this little tweet, and it's tragic that the administration is so set on denying climate change that the UN missed out on these critical meetings. The rest of the world and many cities, companies, and citizens in the U.S. are moving forward to combat climate change. Let's lead. Good for you. No, bravo. Absolutely. Bravo. No, and we don't have nearly enough voices in the DC area to push this through. I mean, we need to take this climate change stuff very seriously, or else there's not going to be a planet left. Or else the planet that's going to be left is going to be a charred husk with a scant few million people huddled towards the poles. And that's not, I don't think that's a good idea. But since Amy Klobuchar is all of a sudden concerned about the environment, I would have to say that I need Amy to clarify her position on the precious metal mines in northern Minnesota. Now, quick little refresher course. In northern Minnesota, there are these precious mines. The way you get these precious metals, the way you get them out of the ground is through what's called sulfur mining. And it leaves behind an incredibly toxic waste product that is, there's no way to clean it up. There's no way to store it. There's no way to do anything. To give you an idea how dangerous this stuff is, in Montana, there are mines from about the 1880s where there are these big pits filled with this sulfur waste that's just toxic and environmentally dangerous. And they've gone and tested it, and it still is 360 years from being able to be environmentally safe. And meanwhile, it sits in this open pit, can seep into the groundwater, can, you know, hopefully it doesn't leak, hopefully it doesn't rain too much where that pit overflows. It's dangerous stuff. Governor Dayton, when they were talking about this, did his due diligence, and dear God, Governor Dayton, I'm going to miss you. when you're not in office. You were a fantastic governor. He did his due diligence. He went around to these mining sites, and he saw what was left behind after these international mining groups were done with the area. Scars on the planet, poisoned water, poisoned land, poisoned air. You know, air communities that basically had were not safe to live in anymore. This has never, I want to repeat this, this type of mining in the history of the planet has never been done environmentally safe. It has never been done environmentally safe. It has never been done. But these international mining groups, who could care less about the Boundary Waters Canoe Area and northern Minnesota and the Voyageurs National Park and the pristine wilderness that we have here in this state. They don't care. So they come in and set up mom and pop shops, and they pay off some Republicans and a handful of Democrats. And they go on out there and they make oopsie laws, which and get rid of water quality standards, and basically make it to where not only has this type of mining never been done, we're telling the mining companies, whether it's their front organization here in town that's supposedly the mom and pop organization, or it's the international mining group itself, we're telling you, come in, mine, pollute the living daylights out of it. We don't care. That is the standard we have right now in this state. If we allow this, we're basically saying you can pollute the living daylights out of this state and there is going to be zero repercussions. I am for mining, but I'm for environmentally safe mining. You could look at this mine and say, you are going to be personally responsible for cleaning up, and not just the mom and pop organization, and not just any dupe that buys the mine at the last second, but the organization, the international mining groups that front this program, they're on the dime. If you put the language out there and say, you cannot mine unless you promise to clean up every speck of pollution that is left behind, these mining companies would leave Minnesota alone. They wouldn't mine here because their game plan, their business model is to buy off politicians promising we're going to be super duper safe, and they will never be safe. And so if you make them be safe, they'll just walk away. Now, I am not a mining expert. I am not a politician. But if I am able to put forward what I just explained to you, and pretty much everyone that's listening is saying, wow, yeah, that's not a good idea. And don't get me wrong, there's some money to be made up there. A few jobs, as long as they don't get the waivers that they have already rumored to be looking for, so that they don't have to hire people for union under union wages, and they can hire people from out of state and have ship them up here and work like they're flying out to some oil rig, you know, have them drive on up here from Oklahoma or Arkansas and have them work for minimum wage in our mines because they got a waiver. But if you get a few union jobs and there is some taxable revenue, that's a nice thing, but it's not nicer than the Boundary Waters. And it's not nicer than the pristine wilderness of Minnesota. And once you lose those things, none of us are going to be here in 500 years to enjoy them again. It's too much of a price to pay to just trust a mining company who has a track record of always polluting to not pollute. It's just dumb. It's just irresponsible. And I think it's great, Amy Klobuchar, that you're for climate change, stopping climate change. That's great. But until you basically come on out here and say, okay, I'm for mining, but it has to be done environmentally clean, well, you don't have my vote. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hold on, Brad. I'll get your call as soon as we get back from the break. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Bring. On Christmas night all people sing to hear the news the angels bring. News of great joy, news of mirth. News of...
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Are you in charge of the company gifts? Looking for a great work party gift or maybe just something nice for yourself? Hi, this is Richard Piepenberg with Vinaigrette, and we're ready for you. We package, gift wrap, and even deliver the finest oils and vinegars so you can simply enjoy the holidays. Since 2009, our family-owned and operated store has specialized in everything vinaigrette. Come in to Tap, Taste, and Treasure, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and in downtown Excelsior at 287 Water Street. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
I'll have a blue Christmas.
David Nyberg here. Okay, if you don't want to mine all this stuff, how are you going to keep getting all the materials for your batteries and electronics for your coal-powered electric cars? I don't know. I mean, we have the technology that we can move away from this stuff. We just don't choose to not. And the reason why is because there's a lot of people that are out there saying, you know, even though I'm not a millionaire and it doesn't really bother me what way we go with this, I probably could go live without all this fine metals being ripped apart from the earth and the northern Minnesota being, you know, toxified. I'm still going to defend it till my last breath. Okay. I would love to have an electric car. You can actually get a lot of electric cars now. As you get solar power, wind power, then your car is pretty much, you know, carbon free, which is, you know, fan-freaking-tastic. There are some countries that are already well down that road. Denmark is one of them. And I sound nothing like that. Okay, David. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But that's a good one. I like that. But no, you're in the world that we have today, you're right. There's a lot of stuff that we use on a daily basis. Here's a cell phone. I got it. You can see it on the camera. There's a lot of stuff in here that comes from these precious metal mines. But maybe as opposed to rip apart the Boundary Waters canoe area because, you know, you want to get a cell phone that's in the modern outlook that you have right now, maybe what we should do instead is say, well, what else could we use that's not going to toxify one of the last remaining great wildernesses of this country and of this world? Because, like I said, it's only going to take one big mistake, and it's all gone. And all of a sudden, then the question is, why did we do that? Why are we doing this? Why did we do that? Well, because we're fools, and we know better, and we just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Welcome on in, Brad.
Yes, I'd like to weigh in on the sentencing of Flynn. And, I mean, first of all, his military service is a mitigating factor. But the fact that he was, and we're finding out more about this conspiracy to, again, return the Turkey's cleric, and again, Turkey's custody, and thought about contemplating a conspiracy of kidnapping him and some type of midnight rendition. I mean, those are unconscionable, and I think that should be a factor in his sentencing. But again, those were inchoate offenses. But I think what they should do is actually go through his speeches and count out every time that he called out to lock Hillary up and add give him a day behind bars for that. And maybe that would be an object lesson for him to about shooting off his big mouth about locking people up.
Well, he was Jude. That was what they were chanting at him as he left the courtroom, lock him up today. You bring up the point about the Turkey. To my understanding, they got him dead to rights on that, on the kidnapping of the cleric. They attempted the idea that they were going to do. They have tapes and everything, to my understanding. This is why he's like, do you want to redo your plea negotiation? No, we're good. Nope, I'll take, I'm guilty. Put me into jail. By the way, they get an update. One last story today. Minnesota lawmakers got an update on the explosive allegation in May that state child care programs might have defrauded to the tune of $100 million to fund Islamic terrorists. Remember that story? The thing which is interesting is it sounds like Scott Stillman, a former state forensics investigator who to date has been the only person to publicly allege the scandal. So this whole thing started because of one guy? Is this like an undersander thing? Apparently, he has some credibility problems. At least some have found that Stillman not credible. Stillman made false statements in the past, was sued by a rival fraud investigator, according to a report in Minnesota Public Radio. Several local Islamic leaders have said Stillman's allegations look to be more Islamophobic than anything else. Carolyn Hamm, the DHS, Department of Homeland Health Services, DHS, I think the people that were looking at this in the state, the inspector general told lawmakers the state's 1,740 licensed child care centers in question received nearly $215 million in state payments in 2017. That would mean Stillman's allegation of $100 million during the same year would amount to nearly 50% of the entire program. Child care fraud is a problem, and it's in the millions of dollars, but it's not nearly that bad. However, we don't have any evidence that it's near 50%. 16 centers out of 1,700. I don't trust the allegation that 50% of the money is a fraud. Hamm has hired an outside firm looking to our offices handle the situation there. There doesn't seem to be anything there outside of the allegations of one person, and it doesn't seem to be. I mean, there were some fraud cases, and over multiple years, those 16 centers billed over multiple years $66 million. But those people were caught and they were tried and they went to jail for fraud. This allegation that half the daycare centers in the state are sending money to Islamic terrorists in the Middle East, it's sounding like an undersander sort of thing going on here. But needless to say, you say something like this around a lot of Republicans, and guess what happens? They go cray-cray. And that's exactly what happened. We are back tomorrow. Have a good one. Till then, see ya.